I thought Bunker was an extravagant name for the burnt, twisted pile of wreckage that we'd been crouching in for the last few hours. They'd once been real bunkers with a roof and a door. Now they all looked like blasted craters. The roof was gone, the walls were stubby and blackened. The interior was a mass of debris shoved into piles. Still, they worked like small forts scattered around the compound, and they were the best protection we had. "My weapon is overheated," the weaponeer reported. I nodded as I climbed to my feet and dusted myself off. That would explain a lot. The black tube he still carried was emitting tendrils of steam and nothing else. I guessed that the heat of the environment and the frequent firefights had overloaded the weapon. I hoped it wasn't permanently damaged. Lund disconnected from the command channel by touching his tapper. He looked at us.
"We're to report to Central. They're hoping the techs can fix my unit. If they can, we're going back up there."
We looked at him grimly, and there were a few groans, but we didn't complain much. What was there to say? We had to fight them up there or wait for them to come down here. I preferred the open field of fire and the protection of the walls to these slimy tunnels. We all did. We made it to the techs, who looked over Weaponeer Lund's unit and, after a few adjustments, declared it serviceable. We were trotting back down the tunnel to our former position when the next attack came.
"I can't believe it," Lund said as we followed him up into our bloody nest. "Why don't they all come at once? They keep coming in waves about a half hour apart. That last wave would have finished us if they'd brought 100 more sets of teeth to the party."
We had no answers for him. We were bone-tired, so we didn't even crack any jokes. I checked the time. Lund was right, they'd been hitting us rhythmically every half hour. In this last attack, we'd lost dozens of troops. I suspected there were only a few hundred of us left in all. We set up again in the nest and tried to push the dead out of our positions. When the other bunkers had gotten our report, they'd unloaded on this location, killing one of our attackers in the center of the nest. The body of a dead jugger is hard to dislodge. The weight was too much to move for only four people. We didn't have the strength to make it do more than flop and shift. We finally got it to the edge of our nest, but no farther. We decided to use the body as a shield and fire over it. I had a new snap rifle by this time, borrowed from a dead comrade. My own had been chewed into uselessness. Once the big body was gone, we had the blasted bits to contend with. As I strained to shovel mounds of charred bone to make a new spot for myself at the edge of the crater, I reflected on my choices in life. Video games hadn't led me to expect this sort of experience. I found myself fantasizing about a quick death during the next go-round. I shook my head to clear it of such defeatist thoughts. We all had a bad feeling about the fourth wave. The only good news was that the twin suns were beginning to go down. On Cancri 9, fighting in the dark was a blessing. The fourth attack began like most of them did, but again their tactics had changed. This time, when they all rushed in, they concentrated on just a few of the bunkers. Instead of sending three or four at each target, they clustered around the same spots where they'd had success before. Ours was one of the lucky bunkers, naturally. Since they'd killed two recruits here and chased the rest of us underground, they decided to try their luck at the same spot again. Weaponeer Lund did his best. He laid out heavy fire, melting two juggers before they even reached us. But our snap rifles only brought down one more, and then we were overrun again.
"Retreat! Go down into—"
That was all we heard from Lund. We'd all been slithering backward, feeling with our boots for the holes that would allow us to drop back into the tunnel under this position and into relative safety. The weaponeer didn't make it. His head popped off in the jaws of the first Saurian to reach the spot, the one that seemed to be leading the charge. As I fell back into the gloom of the tunnel below, I gazed up at the bloody, triumphant monster that had taken Lund's head. I realized with a jolt of recognition that I knew this monster. It had scales of crimson and a belly gouge along its gut. The mouth was painted red with Lund's blood. It looked proud of itself. I fired a stream of pellets up out of the tunnel and into its face until it shied away.
trotting toward the central gathering point where we were supposed to rally if we were pushed back, I began wondering, how had that same lizard returned to that same spot? When Leeson stepped into the rally point, I tried to get his attention. Leeson's face was white. He'd lost a hand and plenty of blood. I decided it was best to wait to bring up my thoughts. He might not live to see the next wave. Specialist Mattis came to work on him next. He soaked the stump of Leeson's wrist in orange fluid, and I could tell it burned. Leeson was in agony. A needle appeared and plunged into his arm. After stiffening, Leeson's pain eased quickly. "I could give you another, adjunct," Mattis said quietly. Leeson looked up but shook his head. "That would be toxic." Mattis nodded his head. "Sometimes a man has to know when he's beaten. Your hand is missing, sir. You can't keep fighting like this."
"Bullshit," slurred Leeson. "I'm a commander. I'm one of the last. I can give orders with one hand. Stop pumping happy drugs into me."
"Yes, sir," murmured Mattis as if he thought the adjunct was crazy. My estimation of Leeson rose at that moment. He was going to stay here fighting to beat the enemy. He was committed. It was hard not to admire that in an officer.
"What are you gawking at, recruit? Never seen a man with one hand before."
As a matter of fact, I had seen several during my short service in Legion Varus, but I decided not to bring it up. "Sir, I noticed something that I thought I should report. That is, if you are in good enough shape to listen."
"Talk all you want, I'm feeling fine."
To demonstrate, he waved his stump at me. Disinfectant fluids dribbled. I figured he was at least partially high from whatever Mattis had shot into him. I wasn't sure if that was better than pain or not when it came to giving commands, but that wasn't my decision to make.
"I saw a red jugger up topside," I told him, "during the last attack. Then I saw him again just now."
Leeson frowned at me, concentrating on my words.
"So the hell what?" he asked. "They come in all kinds of colors. Saw three lime green bastards recently running together like they were brothers."
"Right, sir. But bright red ones are rare. And this one had a scar. A belly scar, I recognized. He came at us twice, once this attack and once the last one. And he knew enough to kill our weaponeer right away this time."
"Yeah, so what? If you don't have a point, stop bothering me.
Sorry, sir," I said quickly. "The point is that the report said all the lizards from the last wave were destroyed. All of them. If that's true, how can this one red bastard be back?"
Leeson stared at me for several seconds. I could tell he was trying to concentrate.
"You're saying that we didn't get all of them? That at least one ran off?"
"That's a possible answer, adjunct."
"What the hell else could it be?"
he snarled at me suddenly. I suspected the initial euphoria of the drug Mattis had injected was fading. He was wincing in pain again, as if he was being repeatedly stung. Leaning to his right side, he cradled his damaged limb.
"I'm sorry, sir. I'll head back to my post."
"No point," he snapped. "We're abandoning 12. You have no weapon here. I'm reassigning survivors to man other positions."
"Right. Who should pick up the weaponeers, too, adjunct?"
"Huh? Oh, nobody. Leave it down here. Has a bad actuary anyway, according to the techs."
I nodded disappointedly. He laughed at me.
"You wanted a chance to fire a heavy weapon, didn't you? Well, you don't have the kit or the training. You have to wear a heavy generator, and you have to know what you're doing. There's backwash, you know. You can't see it, but it's there. If you don't have training, you're as likely to take out your own team with that thing as the enemy."
I didn't think it was all that difficult, but I nodded.
"I'll be going, sir."
I turned to leave, but his good hand lashed out and gripped the fabric of my sleeve.
"McGill,"
he asked, giving me an odd look, "if you see that red lizard of yours again, tell me about it." I smiled.
Will do, sir.